This week's interview is with Pete Selick of Iron Saber. Pete, what do you got going on right now, and what is Iron Saber doing at this moment?
Well, I mean, at the moment, we are putting together a couple of shows for this year, for 2012, because I think it's about due, and it's about time that we play a little bit more, which we haven't been doing recently for quite a while. Like, I mean, more or less the past 4 years, we played one show at in the United States, the Prog Power Festival in Atlanta, and another show in New York, and that was about it for 4 years. And I think we got to raise this a bit.
Mm-hmm. So now, how did you like playing over here in the U.S. for the first time, and was this the first time you were over here playing any shows? And talk a little bit about playing the Prog Power Festival that you played.
Well, I mean, it was the first time for me to play in the United States, because I've been over a couple of years earlier with Savage Circus before. But yeah, I mean, for Iron Saber, that was the first time, and I must say we really enjoyed it a lot. I mean, the New York show was kind of okay, but it was not. I mean, there were not too many people showing up there, because a couple of days ago, I think just Gamma Ray and Gravedigger played, and so people were out of money, and well, obviously Iron Saber wasn't their first choice to go. But anyhow, the show turned out to be really nice. I mean, there were lots of fans also. And then the show afterwards in Atlanta was really killer. I mean, I really loved to play there. And while the whole band enjoyed the show very much, the audience reacted really great. And, well, I mean, it's just a really nice festival there with lots of really great people there. It's really one of my favorite venues to play in, I must say.
I remember when you first started out, you guys were releasing concept albums about the Iron Saber ship and all that stuff. And for The Landing, you know, even over the years, you had, you know, some of your albums ended up being concepts. And for this new album, The Landing, was this a concept record? Or if it's not, were all the songs kind of related somehow on this album?
Well, I mean, it's not really a concept album, but I mean, the concept that or that made this album have is that, well, I mean, this whole album is something like musical therapy for myself. You know, I had a couple of not so good years in the past. I used to own a record label which went down the drain. Nasty story, and well, I mean, didn't make me feel very good, this whole thing, and I sort of like went through a personal crisis, and The Landing was my return, so to speak, my mm-hmm. personal return. So that is the concept of this album, creating heavy metal.
Well, and you were on a kind of a bad end of a business deal, you know, from what I understand, with the, what do you want to call it, with everything that you've been a part of as far as like, you know, the whole label thing and stuff like that. But really, honestly, you know, I'm not going to really go into that, but what I am going to go into is, has it been harder to keep things like this going? I mean, labels, keep labels going, keeping the bands going, you know, with such a lack of income due to downloading and stuff like that. Has it been more difficult for you, say, now, as opposed to 10 years ago?
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course, illegal download is not really helping to make money. That, of course, is one. But that wasn't the case with this label. I mean, the case was mismanagement and, well, I really don't want to go into the details, but it wasn't just that. I mean, it was more internal problems that led to a sort of like catastrophe. Well, and the bad thing about it was that my partners took off and left me alone with all the crap, you know. Mm. So I had to remove the trash they have left behind, and that took me like 2 years and a hell of a lot of money. But well, anyhow, I mean, that is done, and I'm cured from that. I think having a record label is a nice idea, but not for me. It works for other people, but not for me. I'm an artist now again, and that's just fine. And I think, on the other hand, if you work, if you deliver good work as a record label, there's still it's still possible to survive and to make money and to stay in business. I mean, there are lots of labels out there that have been there for a long time, and they show that it's possible as long if you kind of know what you do.
Well, the music business has been very difficult. It's a very difficult business to be a part of. And I have to ask you this, Pete. This is something that it always makes me wonder, with as tough as this business is, and you've been a part of a record label, you've been in a band for quite some time now, and you've also been a producer. What keeps you going, man? I mean, how do you, what motivates you to keep going in this business and doing what you're doing? Because many people have been through the business and they've basically have given up. And what keeps you going, man? And what keeps you doing it?
Well, exactly. It was not the business. Believe me, it was the music itself. In the end, I mean, through these years, I had to deal with this. I thought a couple of times of just giving up, and I was asking myself, why the hell am I doing all this? No, and I really was thinking of quitting totally and, well, getting away from all this, you know, because I had other options that I could make a living on. So it wasn't, I never was dependent on that. But in the end, it turned out to be the love towards music that brought me back in doing it, because, well, I mean, it came to the point where I finally saw some light at the end of the tunnel, and, leaving that crap behind, I somehow started to realize that playing and creating music is still something that that is a big part of me and makes me happy. And so I somehow got back into this just because I liked the music I played. Because as I said before, I had finishing up this mentally two or three times before, so I have no expectations at all into any album I might do in the future. No, I just wanted to do music for myself. That was all. Very simple.
Well, Pete, I have to be honest with you. I think this is one of the strongest Iron Savior albums that you've put out. In fact, I think it's one of the best albums you've put out and one of the best albums of 2011. And being away from all the business ends of things and just being the artist and just being the musician, has this helped this album a little bit as far as songwriting goes?
Yeah, definitely, because I had no restrictions to myself, you know. I was just, I was allowed for myself, I had the allowance to do whatever I want to is just fine. You know, whatever pleases me, whatever makes me happy, whatever makes me feel good, whatever brings a smile on my face is cool. And if it's cheesy or not, I don't care, because if people are going to buy it or not, it's not that important. It's not the main priority here. The main priority is for me to get happy. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a song, Heavy Metal Never Dies, you know. I mean, it's something that a couple of years ago I never would have done, because I would know, there would be an army of cheesy callers, you know, if I do that. But this time I said, so what? That's the song. I write it this way. I love it. And it's going to be like this. And let the cheesy callers call it cheesy how often they want to. I don't care.
That's my favorite song on the album. Just to let you know.
Yeah, mine too. I mean, it's still mine too. And I'm in the car, and I only have time, because I'm going a short way, and I only have time for two or three, so for one or two songs. I just always start with this song to make sure that I listen it. I can listen the whole song.
Well, again, with a song like Heavy Metal Never Dies, and again, that was it's actually my favorite song on the album. But Pete, you've been doing this a long time, and bands like yourselves, when you write songs like this, does this personify, say, your feelings toward this? I mean, does this reflect the fact you won't give up and you're going to keep going and you're going to keep producing this type of music and that you're not going to stop? And, you know, does this song reflect that?
Yes, definitely. I mean, as I told you before, I had this really rough years ahead. And, I mean, also the lyrics reflect on this. So, I mean, this was more or less the first, it was the first song I wrote for this album, you know. And, as we talked before in the opening, before we started this interview, I mean, Iron Savior now is existing for 15 years. I myself are into metal for over 30 years by now. So I thought to myself, hey, I do have a right to say this. And if I say this, I'm not just somebody who's picking up something from somebody else. I mean, it comes from my very heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, this is absolutely honest, and may it be cheesy or not, I don't care. It's really honest, and I think because it is like this, in the end, the people will forgive me if it's cheesy and still like it, and turn out to be that I'm right with this.
The listener response on my show has been very, very positive. In fact, I've heard nothing negative about this newest Iron Savior album, and I have to ask you, Pete, for you, how has this album been doing, and what's the response been so far to The Landing?
I mean, I must say, really great so far. I didn't expect the album to be that that well appreciated by the fans. I mean, the reactions so far are from good through enthusiastic. So it's really, really pleasing for me, I must say. And surprising, because, Iron Xavier always delivered good stuff, but it was more like, people appreciate it and say, yeah, new Iron Xavier, it's great, great album. But, back to normal now. So we never left, so to speak, an impact. We were always delivering good stuff, but, that was kind of normal for Iron Xavier to deliver good stuff. And so that's it. Next band, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But somehow with the landing, it's a little bit different. Mainly also because of this huge pause of 4 years, people were also really surprised that the band still is existing and still is recording records. And I guess also, with this big pause of 4 years, people started to realize how much they'd miss Iron Xavier if Iron Xavier really would be gone that way. And so that was a reaction I really heard from many people, that they are really excited about that. The fact that Iron Xavier still is there, and then, of course, on top of that, returns with an album like this.
Again, this is an album that really had a big impact on me. In fact, when I first started listening to it, I couldn't get past the first 3 or 4 songs because I thought they were that good, and I kept putting them on repeat. But, now that you've put this record out and you've put out a very, very strong release, the next question that comes up, that comes up to any band that's out there when you put something this strong out, do you plan on coming up with a follow-up? Do you plan on writing another album? And do you plan on maybe keeping this going as far as putting out some more Iron Saber records here in the near future?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, this gives me a big, huge kick in the ass, of course, and as I told you before, we are really working on live shows and going on the road, which we haven't been doing for such a long time, because of this success of this album, and because we really like this album ourselves as well. We think it really kicks ass, and it just needs and demands to be played live. And you may have heard that I also have left my other band, Savage Circus, because that wasn't working out for me too much anymore, I must say. And also, on the other hand, with having created this album, I simply couldn't figure myself in Savage Circus anymore. Because this is where my heart goes. This is what I really want to do. And instead of sitting down now by the end of the summer and start writing songs for Savage Circus, I'd rather sit down and start writing new songs for Iron Xavier to have more Iron Xavier stuff to come out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pete, you started out in the early part of the German heavy metal scene back, late 70s, early 80s. And, you started out with Kai Hansen, before the Halloween days and stuff like that. And what was that scene like for you? Maybe describe to me what the metal scene was like in Germany, say, late 70s, early 80s, when a lot of these bands and a lot of you guys basically started your careers.
Well, what do you mean, like really, really the pre-area before Halloween or the early scene when Halloween had got their first releases?
Yeah, just kind of like what that whole scene was like in, early to mid-80s and how things were going back then.
Yeah, there was a lot of going on, actually, and I think with Halloween and with those classic bands, Halloween, Gravedigger, also Sinner and Exciter, something like the German speed metal got born in the early 80s. And I think the Halloween were one of the pioneer bands, also Gravedigger. They all were signed with this record label Noise. And they got really successful because the world, especially in Germany, there was a true demand for these German bands. And they were kind of new. There were the new wave of British heavy metal bands. Of course, there was Priest and Maiden and Motorhead and Saxon, but they weren't playing as fast. And that was something completely, totally new to this to metal, to play stuff really fast. And that's what the German bands did and got really, really successful with that. And I was part of that.
Well, in the earlier... I guess the earlier part of my radio career, as you call it, you know, the last interview that we did, we you talked about being over here in the U.S. and becoming a producer. And what are some of the bands you've helped produce over the years that were fun? And maybe talk a little bit about the past projects and maybe even future projects that you have going on as far as being a producer is concerned.
Well, I mean, of course, I definitely in terms of production standards, of course, I have to name Blind Guardian. I mean, that was, of course, the most interesting job for me, though it also was the most time-consuming and the most energy-draining job because, it's Blind Guardian usually is a production marathon, and, you have to be away from home and it's for several months and stuff like that. Not seeing your family, blah, blah, blah. So, but in terms of production, of course, this was the stuff I learned the most from because it was just a huge, big production where all different, lots of technical things I haven't encountered so far before. I learned to deal with that and stuff like that. Well, I mean, on the other hand, my time at the Caro studio was a big training for me, where I has been working with bands like Saxon and Uriah Heep and so on. But in the end, it turned out to be, after a couple of years, that the technique or the technical issues, that's something that you can learn. And in terms of producing, it's just a development. It's a development that you need as a person, and you have to. And it just takes a couple of years to know what you're really doing. And I think by now I have reached a status where I myself can say I have some really cool knowledge. But hey, I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, you do have quite a good reputation as far as being a producer is concerned, and you've worked with a lot of great bands. I mean, look at some of the people you have worked with, especially, say, Blind Guardian, I think, being one of the most impressive. And do you plan on continuing your role as a producer in some aspect, and any bands you're working with currently as a producer?
Well, I haven't been doing that for quite a while because I have been so busy with Severed Circus and Iron Savior and this other crap. I really would like to do this again a little bit more. I just recently did a mix for a Japanese band that is really kind of interesting. I will do the next Paragon album. I don't know if you're familiar with that band.
Mm-hmm.
German band also from Hamburg. Their album, I started working with them in March this year, and I really want to come back to producing a little bit more because that was also something that I really was missed, that I really did miss. Because it's nice to do your own stuff, but it's a different thing to work with other people, you know, and to work on their stuff. You have a different view on things if it's not your own stuff, and sometimes it's good to have to also experience this kind of view. And as I said before, I was missing this for the past four, or even longer, 8 years, I'd say, as long as I'm working or doing the Savage Circus stuff, it has been taking away so much time from me that I just couldn't do anything like this. And 2012 is the year where I also returned to this a bit more, starting with Paragon.
On a Digipak version of The Landing, you re-recorded a couple old songs, Atlantis Falling and Coming Home, and why did you decide to re-record these two tracks?
Well, I mean, we also could have come up with call it regular cover version. But since I didn't have a very good idea of which song we should cover, and we had been doing this for, like a million times before, I thought, I think now this time, why don't we just cover ourselves? It makes sense to us. And the reason for doing this was that, I mean, those are really old songs. They're like 15 years old. Atlantis Falling was taken from the original first album. And, of course, this song saw some development throughout the years. I mean, this is the song we probably played the most time live of all songs we have. And, I sing it differently. The arrangement is a little bit different. The drumming is a bit different. And I also felt that these two songs are really worth to be brought to our 2011 standard of production. And
on some of your past singles, and with the Interlude EP that came out in the late 90s, you had some live tracks on there, and you've been around a while. Just out of curiosity, does Iron Savior plan on maybe recording a live album?
Yeah, I mean, of course, that is something that is definitely overdue, and a lot of people are always also asking about a live DVD and stuff like that. No, I mean, we'll talk about this with my record label AFM, and because this is something that I could see that could happen this year, because we're going to play a couple of live shows, and maybe there are a couple of shows that would be worth to videotape and cut something nice together and have a nice DVD done by then. And also, on the other hand, I really like this idea of re-recording a little bit more than just two songs. I don't like the idea of re-releasing. That is, well, I mean, if you want to have the stuff, you have the original albums or can buy the original stuff. And it won't change very much if I remaster them. They will pretty much sound the same. So there's no really sense in doing that. But re-recording them, something like Gamma Ray did with their skeleton stuff, I think that is a nice idea, and that is something that that might work out for Iron Savior to do this year, to have, well, like 10, 15 songs re-recorded and combine that with a nice live DVD. Will be something.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, because you're talking about possible re-recordings of old songs. So I know Gamma Ray on the Skeletons and Majesties EP, they re-recorded a couple old tracks. And even Helloween on their 25th anniversary album, the Unarmed album, they re-recorded some old tracks. And both of these bands actually did some rearrangements and played these songs quite differently from their predecessors, as opposed to just recording them, you know, with modern technology. And do you maybe plan on re-recording some of these songs, maybe having them sound different, maybe adding some other musical genres? Do you plan on doing something like that?
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I mean, because, I mean, throughout the years, of course, these songs kind of, they evolve, you know. You have to play them differently. Most of the time, a song that has been, that the way you record it in the studio, it's not really possible to bring it on stage one by one, you know, 100%, like it's been in the studio. So you have to find a live arrangement, and of course that alters the song already. And well, I mean, playing it differently for a couple of years, and then some. Yeah, I mean, it's stuff that happens to the songs if you play them for a longer time. Definitely, yeah. So that is something really interesting that we would love to do. I mean, just look at the two songs. I mean, the changes are not really dramatic, but it is differently than they are as the original versions. And if you're familiar with the versions, you hear it instantly.
Again, really impressed with the album, Pete. I have to tell you, I know it's kind of beating a dead horse a little bit as far as I keep telling you that. But my next question for you, as a fan here in the States, and I've had quite a few metal fans over here really respond to this album. Do you ever plan on coming over here and actually doing a full tour? Maybe not a full tour, but maybe like a small mini tour.
Well, I mean, yes, I personally really would love to come over to the States again, because I really like the States. You know, my mother used to live in San Francisco for over 30 years, and so I'm very connected to the United States, and would love to come to play. Well, the thing is always the money situation, you know. It's kind of expensive to fly an entire band over and play shows, you know, and you know, we're all not 18 years anymore who can do whatever they want to. All of us have families, and if we do that, we cannot come over for a couple of weeks without any income, you know. So we would also need to at least earn a little bit of money from stuff like that. And that is, unfortunately, what makes touring so, well, uncool for bands like Iron Savior, you know. We're too big, actually, to be forgotten, but we're too small to come over to the United States and play a headlining tour, you know. And so it might be something to work out. Maybe something works out with Prog Power this year again. I don't know. I just recently checked their page. There are a lot of Iron Savior requests. I don't know. Maybe Glenn is inviting us over again. Would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, well, I mean, having a tour would be just fantastic, and, well, someday it'll work out. Maybe it's something that can be combined with Latin and Southern America. I don't know, once you're over there, you know. But at the moment, to be honest, I don't think it's really, it's too much realistic.
Well, Pete, for my last question for you, do you have any last words to say to the metal fans that'll be listening to this interview?
Yeah, okay. I mean, the last words to the fans, they're definitely, well, I mean, I hate to do this, to address it like this. No, I'm not talking to the fans right now. Just I want everybody who's listening to this, I would like to know that, this Iron Savior record, The Landing, it wouldn't exist without the permanent support from the fans all around the globe, I really must say, because as I said before in this interview, there have been some really dark hours in the past. And it was most of the time it was the music, but also the comments and the posts of fans asking for Iron Savior, cheering me up and giving me a good time. And in the end, giving me back the belief that Iron Savior is something that this universe needs.